Good evening, everybody. Back to my spot here. Sounds like my having competition tonight. We'll be in Romans chapter 8. It's the location of the text passage tonight. Romans chapter 8. Again, just some very familiar verses here, but some good thoughts and everything for tonight. Romans chapter 8, actually on lesson number 7 here in our study of transforming truths, and lesson number 7, all things for your good. Romans 8, 28 and 29 says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Lord, as we come before you this evening, I ask you to please just be with us. Help us to, just help facilitate the lesson tonight, just your word and some truths and principles that are extracted from it for us tonight, and just help get to blot out as much distractions and everything as possible. Just please help us to, just focus as much as we can on your word and ask you just to work in it tonight, work through us, and your spirit would be speaking to our hearts and lives tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, God allows, there's obviously a lot of things that are going to be said tonight that are really easy to say, but it's a little different when it's you and in your situation. But there's a lot of really good truths and statements in tonight. Now, God allows every circumstance or trial in his children's lives for the purpose of conforming them to Christ. In every situation, he sees a greater picture that they cannot. And although we don't always understand why God allows certain events in our lives, we can trust that he will work all things together for our good. So some goals with the lesson tonight. Number one, we'd understand that this promise is only for those who are saved. Number two, that we would know that God's ultimate purpose for us is to conform us to Christ. And number three, that we'd have peace in knowing that God is in control when we face trials and difficulties. Now, each week, we've looked at a verse or two that has the power to change our lives in this study. That's why it's called Transforming Truths. An application for our truth today, found in Romans 8, 28 and 29, encompasses so many areas of our Christian walk. This author says, we could call the two verses here the A to Z of the Christian life. This passage gives us, again, 26 things here, A, B, C, D, an attitude of hope, boldness to face the battle, courage to do what's right, defense against the devil's attacks, encouragement during trials, focus on the eternal, glory to give God, help in time of need, insight during trials, joy through all circumstances, knowledge in the darkness of what God's trying to do, love for God, ministry for others, nutrition in the famine of blessing to feed us, offering of praise, purpose for our lives, quality for our lives, rejoicing in suffering, strength to not faint, testimony to others, understanding, victory in the valley, wealth as children, X-ray vision into why God's doing something, yieldedness to his will, knowing that all things will work together for good, and then zeal to serve. It says, during our lowest valleys and our highest victories, this passage here is the Mount Everest for every believer. Because when we're experiencing success in our lives, these verses remind us of how we reach that mountaintop. When we're going through trials, these verses teach us that all of our circumstances will work ultimately for good. So wherever we are at this point in our lives, there's something that we can learn from this passage. And ultimately, it teaches that our good is God's purpose. Everything that he allows into our lives is for his perfect purpose of conforming us to Christ. So point number one, we see his starts with a P. And it's not plan. Not purpose. If you remember back to the lesson goals that I mentioned, that might give it away. It's not promise. His people. Now, it's important for us to realize that this verse is meant for God's children, for those who are saved. Not only is it important to understand, but it's special to realize how blessed and privileged we are as God's people to be the recipients here of such wonderful promises, such as the one found in Romans 8, 28 and 29. If you go back to the very first verse of chapter 8, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which are born, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We see subpoint A, it says this verse is not for the, starts with the you. It's not for the unsaved. We can't use this verse to comfort an unsaved person who's going through a trial, because the unsaved cannot have confidence that everything in their lives will ultimately work out for good. Look at what Jesus said about Judas in Matthew 26, 24. Let's get the first verse.
The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born.
All things did not work together for Judas. Judas betrayed Christ and suffered for that decision. Although Judas's treatment of Jesus was for the good of all those who would be saved, things did not all work together for good for Judas himself. Now, the unsaved person should be given a clear presentation of the gospel rather than a false assurance that their lives will work together for good. As if you're, it says, of course, if you're here and you don't know Christ, you should settle that now, today. Now, one of the most pointed passages in the Bible is at the conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And he said this in Matthew 7, 21 to 23.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Then he will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?
And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
May these not have to be the words that Jesus has to say to you. Settle the question of your eternal destiny today, and then once your salvation is settled, look forward to the opportunity then to claim this promise that all things work together for good. So then subpoint B, we said this verse is for the... Yep. Now in this passage, there's a word that's introduced here for the first time. Now when that happens in Scripture, now the passage itself teaches us what the word means. And that's the word here, predestinate. You know, God's foreknowledge of those who would trust in him. Now, predestination is not about the unbeliever. Now, God doesn't predetermine which people are going to hell. He foreknew whether or not you would receive or would reject his son. And based upon your free will and his foreknowledge, he's predestinated you to be conformed to his son. Knowing the decisions that you'll make, this is an interesting statement. Knowing the decisions that you'll make, God in his sovereignty plans each event in your life according to his perfect will. He predetermines every trial, every test, and every season that you'll go through. And he plans them for the purpose of conforming you to the image of Christ. Think about your favorite dessert for a moment. Now, for sake of illustration, let's use warm chocolate chip cookies. Many of us would agree that there's very few things as delicious as chocolate chip cookies fresh out of the oven. I would, actually. Yes, there's something about chocolate chip cookies when they're just gooey. The chocolate chips are still gooey coming out of the oven there. And think about how delicious that tastes and how much you enjoy eating them. But think about all the ingredients that go into those chocolate chip cookies. Flour, raw eggs, maybe baking soda. Would you eat any of those items individually? Would you ever eat a cup of flour for a snack? Now, the individual ingredients don't taste very good, except maybe the chocolate chips. But when all those ingredients come together, they make a delicious, mouth-watering chocolate chip cookie. The baker takes ingredients that are not good alone to make a perfect dessert. Just like you use all those ingredients to make that cookie, God uses everything in your life as ingredients to make you into what he wants you to be. If you're saved, he's working in you to conform you to his son. Now, there may be some ingredients that individually don't taste very good, but rest assured that God has a bigger picture in mind. And if you're his child, he's working to conform you to his son. Because remember, your good is his purpose. Not all things are good, but God takes all things and makes all things come together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, point number two, we see his, starts with a P as well. I'm sure it's been mentioned already. Yes, promise. If we're saved, we can claim the promise of this verse. Now, like all other promises in Scripture, we can have confidence that the Lord will fulfill it. Now, Titus 1, verse 2.
In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began.
So notice what the promise in this verse has. In subpoint A, certainty of it starts with an O. Certainty of its outcome. Certainty of its outcome. Again, Paul said in verse 28, and we know. Now, how many of us have ever had someone break a promise they made to us? How many of us have ever broken a promise that we made to someone else? Now, although we may have good intentions, we may not always follow through on our promises. We're humans. We forget things. Now, God will never forget his promise to us, and he cannot lie about a promise. Because any time that God makes a promise, we can have 100% assurance that he will do what he said he would do. God never breaks his promises. 1 Kings 8:56.
Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant.
We see subpoint B, a change in its, also starts with a C. Well, starts with a C. Probably would struggle to come up with this one. It's a change in its curriculum. Now, as God takes you through the process of refining you, purifying you, and conforming you to the image of his son, he has to take you through many steps. And because of this, you may go through many different types of trials. And whatever trial you may face, whether it's financial, marital, relational, physical, emotional, you can rest assured that all things work together for good to them that love God. And when the trials come, and they will most certainly come, don't be disheartened by them. It says, don't ever think for one moment that God has abandoned you. Because he sees wherever you are, and he's working every event in your life together for good. We see C, conformity as its, starts with a G, goal. Conformity as its goal. The goal is not to merely change the things that you do, but to conform you to the image of Christ. It's an interesting illustration here. It says, one night in a dream, a man had a vision from the Lord. The Lord said to him, tomorrow outside of your door, there will be a stone. Push it. So troubled and confused, the man drifted into restless sleep. And the next morning as he left for work, he opened his door and there lay a huge boulder. He remembered what the Lord had told him the night before, so he began pushing the boulder. He pushed as hard as he possibly could, but the boulder didn't budge a centimeter. For the rest of that day, although he pushed the boulder as hard as he possibly could, it remained perfectly in place. The next day, the boulder was still there. He tried again to move it, and again, no success. And that process turned into a matter of days, then weeks, then months. And after several months of unsuccessfully attempting to move the boulder, he gave up. Hurting, fatigued, weary, he charged into his house and cried, God, I quit. You asked me to push the boulder, so I tried. It didn't move, so I tried again, and then again, and again, and again, and again. God, for the past several months, I've done nothing but try to move this massive boulder that you told me to move. Why'd you tell me to do that, God? Immediately the Lord appeared to him in another vision and said, come look in your mirror. As the man stepped into his bathroom and stood in front of the mirror, and speechless he stared at himself. His every muscle in his body was huge. The Lord said, my child, I didn't tell you to move the rock. I told you to push. My goal isn't for you to move it. I wanted to make you stronger. Through every hardship, testing, and sudden change you experience, God has an ultimate goal: to conform you to his Son. He knows exactly what's best for you as he allows you to go through trials. Now, in his sovereignty, he sends you the circumstances that are the best suited for you to conform you to Christ. Let me say that again. In his sovereignty, he sends you the circumstances that are the best suited for you to conform you to Christ. Let's think about that for a minute. Again, that's really easy to say and read. It's a little different when it's you. Point three. But then we also see his also starts with a P. A perspective. Middle. Low to medium. Close. All of it is for the what of conforming us to Christ? Purpose. His purpose. Whatever God allows you to go through, you can rest assured that he has a purpose for it. Although you may not always understand, you can have faith that his ways are far greater than your finite human mind can imagine. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
When we're fully convinced that God knows better than us, and that his purpose is for our good, his purpose will be our filter, our focus, and our faith. So you see point A, our filter. When we're totally committed to God's purpose for our lives, all of our plans, dreams, aspirations go through the filter of his purpose, affecting every decision that we make. When we're making our decisions through the filter of God's purpose, we will be committed to doing His perfect will. And that also affects how we view unforeseen circumstances. We all know what it's like to make plans only to have them destroyed by things outside of our control. Rather than becoming frustrated, we should filter our plans through the promise of Romans 8, 28-29. We know that all things work together for us, therefore we can be confident that each circumstance God allows that spins out of our control is part of His ultimate purpose being fulfilled in us. It's kind of a like an illustration similar here. It says, bring a water filter to class as a visual. You know, think about an unsaved person as like a water faucet without a filter. The unsaved have nothing with which to filter their life. When they're trying to make a decision, they choose what they think is best. And when they go through trials, they have no hope that the hardships are for a better purpose. But those who are saved, however, have Romans 8, 28, and 29 as our filter. Just like dirty water may enter a filter, God may allow circumstances in our lives that by themselves appear hopeless. But don't be discouraged when upsetting circumstances come into our lives. Allow them to go through our filter. Because remember that everything that happens in our lives is to conform us to Christ. And just like dirty water becomes clean water through the filter, God can turn our trials into something great. And B, our focus. When we're living in Romans 8, 28-29, God's purpose of conforming us to Christ becomes our focus. Life is not about what we achieve, but rather it's about what we become. Think about that. It's kind of an interesting statement. Now, life is not about what we achieve, but rather it's about what we become. Now, often we become so task-oriented that we're easily distracted from our main focus, becoming like Christ. And we need to remember that our focus should not be on our achievements, but on becoming like Christ. And C, our faith. Now, finally, notice that when we live in this passage, Christ's purpose becomes our faith. When we're putting our trust in God's purpose for our lives, we have no reason to be discouraged. Now, weary Christian, take note. No, hurting heart, listen. Faith is a crucial part of the Christian life. Hebrews 11, 6.
But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
And when you battle discouragement, heartache, or depression, you turn to Romans 8, 28-29. Now, in everything God allows you to go through, His ultimate purpose is to conform you to Christ. Have faith in that. He loves you, and you can have faith in His perfect plan for you. Jeremiah 29.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end.
So in conclusion, you need not respond, but has there ever been a time in your life that you wondered if God was even aware of what you were going through? And perhaps you've gone through a trial that made you feel lonely, defeated, forsaken. Friend, if you're here today and you're a child of God, rest assured that God is allowing your trials for His ultimate purpose. You're good. And your good is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Take a minute to think about the story of Joseph. God allowed Joseph to be sold into slavery, falsely accused, thrown into prison. Now, for years, he endured trials as a result of the sins of others. But yet when Joseph's brother finally apologized to him for what they did, Joseph stated in Genesis 50, verse 20, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, if anyone could have had a human excuse to be bitter, it was Joseph. But Joseph looked at the bigger picture. He realized that God had used every hardship to fulfill his ultimate plan. Whatever it is that you may be facing, God has handpicked that circumstance for you. God has a plan that only he can see, and he's working to fulfill that in your life. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your name. He knows your needs, and he loves you enough to intercede specifically for you. Matthew 10:29-31.
Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father?
So the very hairs of your head are all numbered.
Fear not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows.
It's another teaching tip that was in here. It says, suggests that everyone in class make a list of every challenging situation that you're facing. That can include trials, responsibilities, burdens, etc. And then right at the bottom of your paper, these are to conform me to the image of Christ. And suggest that then you carry that with you for the next couple weeks to remind you that all things work together for good to them that love God. There's some questions here to finish off. Number one, so who does Romans 8:28-29 apply to? Those who are saved. Number two, now what word is found for the first time in the Bible in Romans 8:29? And then why is that significant? It's predestinate. So why is that kind of significant as it was mentioned in the lesson here?
Yep.
The way that he mentioned it here is kind of the idea, the first time that a word's mentioned, the verse often explains what it means. Now, the law of first mention, so to speak, as it's, that's what he was kind of getting at with the question here. But number three, good answer though. What is God's ultimate goal for you as a believer? Conform you to the image of Christ. If life is not about what we achieve, what's it about? Who we become rather than what we achieve. Number five. So what does the passage, this is kind of goes here, Andy kind of already answered it. What does the passage teach us about predestination? Again, kind of basic, the summary is knowing the decisions that you'll make according to your own free will, God in his sovereignty predetermines what you'll go through for the purpose of conforming you to Christ. Number six, what is it that makes a promise from God so different from a promise that any of us could make? Because no matter how determined we may be to keep our promises, we have finite minds capable of forgetting our promises. And we know from the Word of God that God will never break his promise, and he'll hold true to every promise that he made. All of us will experience different types of trials. Why is it that God allows us to go through various types? His purpose is to conform us to Christ, and he knows which circumstances would be best for each of us individually to bring us closer to Christ. So when God's purpose for us is the filter for our lives, how does that affect us? God's purpose is our filter. We can allow our dreams, our aspirations, our hopes to go through that filter. And we'll also have peace in knowing that all the trials that we go through are for the purpose of God, fulfilling His perfect plan in us. And then the verse, again, kind of to close the text verse here, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But so that concludes the lesson and everything tonight. Any thoughts for anyone? Anyone who wanted to share? Anything maybe stood out to you specifically tonight? Again, it's one of those things like, yeah, amen, great, but then it's a little different when it's you in it. But anything before we close? I thought the baking illustration was a really, really good one. Because, yeah, you think about what goes into, like, making cookies. You wouldn't eat any of those by themselves. But then when they're put together, they turn into something that's, like, delicious and amazing. But anything else before we conclude? Anything else?
Kind of along that line, just how much we can fight against it and different things. And not feel like you need to get a test, like, oh, why? But then it's like we find out later, yeah, just like the verse says, like, man, he worked that out so well, so good. And I mean, the like protection of our kids and things. And, or conversations you have with different people. There was an instance the other day of it wasn't really what we wanted to do or planned to do, but then we were able to do something else that was just a huge encouragement because of that other situation.
Like, it kind of simplifies our life. Think about a child, you know, who's got a parent who's really doing all those things to, you know, educate them, to make them better people, giving us a, you know, that's all being done. But really, just your life is simply just obeying and just it's going along, just trusting. And, you know, as opposed to, you know, a lot of times, like it's, you know, it's been mentioned, you know, trying to think of what the will of God is for our life, you know? and it's really just, it's going to be produced through just simple obedience. Because God's got the plan.
I think another way is a comfort. Because you know that nothing's going to happen here that hasn't already been filtered through God's hands. So, you know, it's God here. Praise the Lord.
Anything else before we conclude tonight? Okay, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the lesson, and well, I mean, obviously, ultimately, it's your word that came from the principles and the truth tonight. That again, I thank you for the truths of that, and again, just the timeliness as was mentioned. How you just work in our lives, and you promise to work in our lives for our good. Again, and lots of times it doesn't seem that way, but you're the master potter, the master baker, if you want to word it that way, master everything, really, working and directing for our good, if we will believe that and have faith to believe that, and trust you in it, then as you can look back later and see that hindsight is 20/20 vision, said. And again, ask that you would just help us with that to, again, when we're in things, to trust in you. Because again, it's you're working for our good in it. And ask that you'd please give us safety as we travel back to our homes tonight and bring us back together again on Wednesday and just, again, be helping us and working as we're preparing for just working towards the Christmas program and things there. And pray for those that are out traveling and have been traveling, just bring them back safely to us again. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.